A couple of interesting discussions that are in the realm of halacha l'maaseh over here. So the Gemara at the bottom of Samad Gimel Amud Aleph quotes Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Gadol ha'amalve yoter min ha'oset tzedakah matil b'kis yoter mikula. That the highest form of tzedakah is helping a person who is in the process of losing their financial footing and getting them back on their feet before it's too late, so that you're able to help them preserve their dignity, where you don't have to give them outright stock up, but where you're able to give them a loan that they have the ability to pay back and feel like they're not dependent upon charity, or even to involve somebody in a business venture. Which is the Matzil B'Kis, where you go into a business venture together with somebody, and there's a chance of loss, but also hopefully a better chance or hope for profit. And this way, a person will be able to be financially in better shape and also preserve their sense of human dignity as well. So it's interesting. This is codified in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya gives the different madregas of tzedakah, which you also find in the Rambam, and says that the highest madrega of tzedakah is that when somebody is beginning to suffer some financial setbacks, that you give him a haba, you give him a loan to help him get back on his feet. In the Sefer Avos Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim makes an important comment. There are two different models that are discussed in our Gemara of what's sort of the ultimate form of tzedakah. So one is you give a person a loan. What does that mean, a loan? It's an interest-free loan, right? Because according to halacha, you can't charge somebody ribbis. Or alternatively, you have what you might call a genuine business opportunity that you enter into with somebody, the Matzil B'Kis paradigm. But let's say that you give somebody a loan in a way where you're trying to effectively collect a return, which normally would be prohibited based on interest, but you do it in a way in which it won't be halakhically prohibited because you make it in the form of what's a joint venture. You do a shtar iska. What's a shtar iska? A shtar iska is where you say, I'm giving you money and I'm expecting a certain return, but in the event that the investment that you put the money into goes sour, so then you don't have to pay me back. The only thing is that the only way that I'll believe you that the investment went sour is if you produce two eidim, and the two eidim might have to be the rav of the community and the chazan of the community who never venture foot outside of the shul, so they don't know what's going on with anybody's business affairs. So you're very unlikely to produce a testimony that the money was lost. And in terms of the profits, I'm not going to believe you that you didn't make an adequate profit to guarantee my expected return unless you take a shavua, unless you take an oath. And you have to take the oath with a Sefer Torah in front of the entire shul during Kriya Satorah on Shabbos. When everybody is there and people are not going to want to take a shavua, they're not going to be able to produce the witnesses in most cases. That would be our presumption. So you say, but in the event that you don't want to go through this whole rigmarole of producing witnesses and taking an oath, so we'll assume that the profits will be X, 10%, whatever, and if you give me that amount, so then you'll be exempted from the need to bring witnesses or make an oath. And even if the profit was more than that amount, you'll be able to keep the rest. So that's the deal. That's the shtar iska deal. That's perfectly legitimate, halachically, because technically the person could conceivably, theoretically, bring witnesses and take an oath. It's just his choice not to, but to pay this return instead. And this is how the shtar iska mechanism functions. So even though it's not a halva, it functions in some way kind of like the objective of a halva, which is to extend money and get that amount back plus more. So says the Chafetz Chaim, this is not a fulfillment of tzedakah at all. That you're allowed to do it, and it's not a violation of the halacha, but because you're effectively manufacturing a mechanism where you're essentially coming close to guaranteeing your return, like it would be if it would be a regular hava beribis. Therefore, even though this particular form is considered to be mutter and is not a violation of isaribis, it's also not a kiyum of stalka either. So that's just one important halacha from the daf. Then there's a discussion. Yes.
Sometimes it's a tremendous chesed just even to do that shtar niskah, because the person can't get credit from anybody. Nobody's going to give him any money. So, and, you know, it's like you're giving it to him, and you don't know what's going to happen with the money. And so, in the sense, I don't know if, like, in the narrow sense it's stucca, but it seems like it's sort of, like, in a broader sense, it's an act of stucca to help this guy out to, you know, get some money and, you know, be on his feet.
So the Chafetz Chaim says that if you're really interested in doing chesed, so then give him an interest-free loan. That would be really chesed. Don't do this and pretend that this is chesed. Okay. So the Gemara earlier on the daf talks about Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was interpreting a pasuk regarding where it says Chagor Chavachal Yerach Ibor Hotchal Dach Ve'Adroch. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Hodecha Ve'Hadar Recham. That the pasuk in Tehillim Kapitel Memet about girding a sword on the thigh of a warrior, and this is glory and splendor. So so Kahana says that this is referring to Divrei Torah. I have a Divrei Torah ksiv. Abaye, who could explain that Rabbi Elazar understands from this pasuk that a sword is considered to be a takshit. That's why Rabbi Elazar says that if somebody that these items, one would not be chayev achatas for going out with these items on Shabbos because they're considered to be a takshit. He disagrees with the Tanakama. Tanakama, the Chachamim say that this is all the ganai, that going out with a sword is the ganai, and therefore, if one would go out with them on Shabbos, you'd be chayev achatas. So, why does Rabbi Elazar say it's a takshit? So it's based on this pasuk. So Kahana said, but this pasuk was talking about Divrei Torah, so they need to be taught it to him. No, ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. It could be that it's also a reference to Divrei Torah, but we also have a principle that the every single pasuk has to be understood in terms of its simple meaning as well. So Amar Rav Kahana Karabina bar Tamei Sarishanin. I was 18 years old. Rabbi Gamir lay the kulei ashas. And I made a Siyam Hashas. You shouldn't think that the first, you know, major Siyam Hashas was in MetLife. So Rav Kahana himself made a Siyam Hashas. He went through the entire Shas, and he did it when he was only 18 years old. Pretty impressive, right? But lo abba yadana, dey mikra yotzei midei pshutim. I didn't know this arashta until now that you told this to me. I didn't know this particular principle. I went through the Gemara. I lined up the various blot, and I understood whatever I understood. I didn't pick up this principle, the ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto, until now, until you mentioned it to me right now. So my kamash malon. So what do we learn from this? Do we learn from this that maybe he should have learned a little bit more slowly, so that he would have picked up the principle of ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto? He could have at least stopped on his own gemara on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, right? Yeah. But how come he didn't pick this up? So we learn from this. That it's better we learn, no, it must be that what Rav Kahana did was considered to be appropriate. Otherwise, he wouldn't be publicly proclaiming it with a sense of pride. It must be that this is the right derech, that the person should first learn and make sure that they get the full sense, and then afterwards they can learn more behind. So this is a big question. It's a machlokis at the end of Masechus Brachos as to which is better, Sinai or Oker Harim. Is it better to be somebody who's a tremendous baki, or is it better to learn Be'iyun and be an Oker Harim and be somebody who's able to overturn mountains through your tremendous analysis of the sugyas? So this was pertinent to deciding whether Rabba or Rav Yosef should be appointed as the Rosh Yeshiva. Rabba was an Okei Harim and Rav Yosef was a Sinai. So the conclusion was that everybody needs a Marichati, everybody needs the person with all the goods who has, you know, all of the answers, and Sinai Yodiv, and it's better to be a tremendous Baki. So from this Gemara, it appears that Bekiyus learning is considered to be more important, more valuable than Be'ir learning. So that's what the Bekiyus people say. The Bekiyus people say, you see from the Gemara, it says Sinai Yodiv, that it's better to have Bekiyus. So the Be'ir people say, no, that's not what the Gemara really means. You have to analyze the Gemara. What's really talking about? You know, maybe it depends on, you know, whether, you know, there was a time when all of the materials were available, and Torah Sheba'al Peh was inscribed. Maybe, you know, now that the reference, it's easier to reference all of the Mekoros, so maybe Bekiyus doesn't have the same level of, you know, prominence. So that's an eternal machlokas. You're not going to be able to settle it, even from what the Gemara seems to say very simply. But the pashtus is that both Rabba and Rav Yosef had Bekiyus. The only question is, was there sort of an additional emphasis after going through all of Shas on just having an emphasis on the retention of all of the information, or was there more of an emphasis on an analytical approach of the information? But to go through all of Shas, so that appears to be indicated by our Gemara, that in order to really have any kind of Be'iyun learning that's significant, you have to be Ligmar Inish V'Hadol Lispar. If you don't have the totality of the picture in front of you, then you're going to potentially make all kinds of mistakes, what various Achronim refer to as Pilpul Shel Hevel. You'll get involved in a Pilpul process that will just be a meaningless and wasteful exercise of time, because if you knew what was on the next stop, so then the Pilpul would never get past the first base, because it would be schlubbed up by something that you haven't learned yet. So of course you have to go through. The only question is, do you go through even if you don't have a full-fledged understanding? So Rav Kahana seems to indicate, yeah, Ligmar Inish of V'Hadar Lispor, that even if you don't have a full-fledged understanding, you should go through everything first. So this is discussed further in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. So the Gemara there says that it quotes a pasuk. This is a pasuk in Mishle. Hon mehevel yimot bekovetz al yad yabet. That if a person collects too much at once, then it's going to be deficient. And if they're methodical, they do take one step at a time, so they'll get more out of it. Most adam tarasso chavilot chavilot. If a person just bundles together their learning too quickly, too many bundles at a time, is right, then it's going to be deficient in kovetz al yad yabet. But if it's more deliberate, so then they'll get more out of it. So Amar Rava. So Rava says yadi rabbanu l'hamilsav aviyala. So Rava says that the Chachamim are aware of this principle, but despite the fact that they're aware of this principle, they are not able to maintain this properly. They're not able to fulfill this. They have too much of a taiva, I suppose, to, you know, learn up tremendous amounts at once, even though it's in violation of this principle. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, Ana Abitav, I did this, and I was, and it all worked out for me in the end. It all worked out for me in the end. So, so what is that? So what does that mean? I did this. So Tosva says that this is that what he means is that he did it the right way. That he did it the right way. That he did it by being very methodical and very deliberate and learning one thing at a time and making sure to master it before going on to something else without going too quickly. So then Tosus quotes a pshat, the v'yesh gorsim avrisa, that the gersa is not avita, but avrisa. I violated this. Bereish, v'lo nehira. That can't be. Tim came, balistar l'yisbarya sha'abra al-divrei chachamim, because then he's coming to boast about the fact that he was over on Dibbe Kachamim, when it says explicitly that you're not supposed to compile too much at once, because it's not necessarily going to stay with you. So the truth is that the Gemara there on Daf Yud Samad Aleph also deals with this issue a little bit earlier in the Gemara. The Gemara there says, Amar Rava, the Olam Yomad Adam Torah Ve'achakach Yegeh. A person should learn Torah and then afterwards engage in more Be'iyun learning only after he's gone through it. Shenemar Torah Hashem Ve'hadu V'sarasa Yegeh. It says the beginning of Tehillim, V'sarasa Ki V'sarasa Hashem Katzah V'sarasa Yegeh Yomam V'layla. First you go through Torah Hashem, and then afterwards you get more involved in the Yegeh, the Be'iyun learning. The Amar Rava, the Olam Likvasin Ashiyapagav Te'mishkah. And he says, a person should learn even though he forgets. Even though he doesn't know what he's talking about. Even though he doesn't have a full understanding of what in the world he's learning. Shenemar, that seems to be consistent with what the Rav Kahana said, right? Shenemar, garsa nafshi l'tava. As it says, that garsa nafshi is like, didn't just kind of took part of something without grinding it up carefully. And I did it just because I enjoyed it. It was something that was enjoyable to me to learn up big chunks at once. Garsa ksib lo ksib tachana. It says he was garsa even though he didn't grind it up. Okay. So the Maharsha on the Gemara in Avodah Zavah takes issue with Tosfos and says that he thinks that the girsa of Ana Avrisa, that the Girsa of Nachum by Yitzchak said that I actually violated it, is justifiable, because that seems to be what is indicated in the Ma'amarim of Rava earlier on in the Daf. Let me just find that Maharsha here. And the Maharsha says that his proof that it's an appropriate Girsa is because the previous line that we read was Yadi Rabbanim Laham Milsav Aviyala. So we see the Gemara tells us that the Chachamim violated this. So I supposed to say, oh, we're not going to, nobody's going to get up and boast about the fact they violated it. The Gemara tells us that the Chachamim violated it. Even the Yadi Amai Kaviyala, since they know this, why were they over on it? And also, my Rabbusinam from Nachman by Yitzchak Shispar Shias Tisiyah. Also, why would I name Nachman Yitzchak to say, well, I did what I was supposed to do? Yeah, big deal, bully for you. You did what you were supposed to do. It's more of a Kaddish if he says, I did do what I was supposed to do, and it worked out. Korkop Tenira, the Hanach, Drashas to Lael, to Olam Yilman Adam Torah, Akakak Yega, the Olam Ligra Sinish, Ravagap the Mishka, Soser, Kolze, Hadakamahaka, Imadam Moset, Tarasu Kavilos, Mismai. That the previous Ma'amarim basically are in contradiction, or in opposition to the statement that you can't learn a lot at once. Lizeome Rabbanan, Yadi Hak Rasha, therefore it says, the Mada Mosa, the Chachamim are aware of this Rasha, Ba'aviyaleh, the Ba'anach, Avdi Ka'anach, and they do like all of the other Drashas. And therefore he says that you can be Mekayim, the girsa of Arisa Beresh, that he violated it, but nonetheless he said that it's okay to violate it. Why would it be okay to violate it? So it could be that the reason why it's okay to violate it is based on another drasha that was derived from the very same pasuk at the very beginning of Tehillim, where he says, the Gemara says, one second. The Brisa says, "Ein adam lome Torah makom shlibo chavetz." That a person only really learns, can only really be successful in learning, if they learn from the place that their heart really wants to learn from. Shneemar akim soras Hashem chavetzo, because as it says that it has to be, in order for the Torah to last, it has to be something you have a chavetz for, something that you are something that you are excited about. So that's another. So that's a drasha. It's brought also in the name of Rava as well. The same Rava who said the Olam Yomad Adam Torah Akakach Yega. So Rava also darshins from the same pasuk Yomad Adam Torah Makom Shlibo Chapet. So it could be these two drashas of Rava go together. The reason why we tolerate this notion, according to the Girsa of Avrisa, that of learning loud at once, even though one doesn't fully digest and fully understand and fully internalize everything, is because ultimately the formula for success in learning Torah is to be passionate about that which one is learning. And it's the passion, basically, that is what ensures the future success of learning, even if, as a result of the person's passion to daven up a lot of dapim, to make a siyum hashas, he doesn't necessarily excel in every single item, and he doesn't fully digest or fully understand or fully appreciate every single yisod. So that seems to be basically what was being enunciated by Rav Kahana over here, where Rav Kahana said that he went through all of Shas, even though and he didn't pick up a mikra yotze midei pshuto, and the Gemara says, so the chiddush that we learned from this is the ligmar inish rahadah lisper. So that seems to be, if we understand like the Maharashah, in accordance with the opinions that are presented in Masechas Avodah Zarah and Daf Yutes, that this is a perfectly legitimate enterprise, legitimate way of going about learning, that that it's good to daven up a lot if that's what a person is passionate about, because that will excite their passions for Torah and will enable them to ultimately have greater success in Torah. But in terms of the Bekiyas Be'iyun debate, so it's obvious that it also stands for the proposition that you have to have the Bekiyas. You have to have at least the familiarity with all of the different concepts. Even if a person doesn't remember everything, if they've gone through all of Shas, so then at least they have a general familiarity with the reasoning of the Gemara, with the concepts of the Gemara, what is sort of makes sense within the framework of a Gemara discussion, and what type of argument doesn't make sense in the framework of a Gemara discussion. They develop more of a mindset, more of a sensibility. This notion, even that was discussed in the Gemara about Ezara, about the Chabilot, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin provides a balance of the notion of the Bekiyas and the Be'iyun. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Membeis Amud Aleph, where there's a pasuk that says in Mishlei, Kibisach Bulos Taseh Lecha Milchama. That through tachbulos, through tricks and through cleverness, you should wage battle. So this is understood by the Gemara as referring to the Mochamta Shel Torah. That's the battle of real, serious, be'iyun, learning, ba'amkush Shel Torah, where you really engage in the Mochamta Shel Torah. So Amar Avacha B'chanina, Amar Avasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mi Atamotzi Mochamta Shel Torah. So with whom do you find success in the notion of Milchama Shel Torah, being able to really analyze properly and parse through the sugyas of the Torah Shebaal Peh successfully? For me, Sheyesh B'yado Chabilot, somebody who has the Chabilot, that they have all of these bundles, Shel Mishnah, they have these bundles of learning that they've been able to compile. That's, you need to have it. If you're not able to first have the compilation of all the information, then you're not going to be able to decipher even any particular piece of it properly. So you need to go through that compilation. Ideally, you should go through it, and you should chazer, and you should master it. But you, at the very least, even if you're not going to remember everything, and if you're not going to understand everything perfectly, just the very familiarity of going through everything will enable you to be more successful in your Be'iyun learning. So Rav Shechter quoted once, in the name of the Rav, that the Rav said that that's, this Gemara in Sanhedrin stands for the proposition that you need both elements, that of course that there is a tremendous emphasis and value placed upon Melchamta Shel Torah, the Be'iyun learning, the Amkus learning of Torah, but in order to really be successful in being an Okir Harim, you first have to be a Sinai of sorts. You have to have the Chabilot. You have to have the Chabilot. You have to have the bunches and the bundles of the Mishnayos and the Brisos and the Sugyas and the learning. You have to be like Rav Kahana, that you go through Kulei Shas, that you have to go through Shas in order to be able to be Matzliach in your learning. Shas is a prerequisite for itself. In order to be successful, learning any particular ring or any particular subject, so you have to go through Shas. So it's good to get it over with as quickly as you can. But Kahan was 18 years old, so anybody who hasn't finished Shas should do it. So and that will help to ensure better success. So this is one of the best endorsements for the whole Daf Yomi enterprise that we're engaged in, and going to all the Dafim of Daf Yomi every single day. There's a statement towards the end of Amud Aleph as well. That you should attach yourself to a Tama Papam, even if he's a Noke Minote or Kinachash. So this is a big question that we know there's an Issa Nekima, there's an Issa Nativa in the Torah. So what do you mean that this is considered to be some sort of a Mila, that you should attach yourself to a Tama Papam who's Note or Noke Kinachash? So it's a whole discussion as to when this is applicable. So Rabbi Willick has an essay about this in one of the Beis Yitzchaks, where he wrote a drasha on Yanei Tshuva, and in one of the sections he focuses upon this notion of Noke Minote Kenachash, and he quotes a Rambam Perek Tes of Hilchos Tamei Torah, where the Rambam basically says that if a Tamei Chacham is going to prevent a bizayin haTorah, when a Tamei Chacham is attacked, sometimes it's a personal attack, but sometimes it's an attack that has the potential of being mevazeh Torah. So if as a result of his responding properly and making sure to stand up for the cause of Torah, that he's going to prevent a bizayin haTorah, so then it's legitimate. It's basically only for his own personal purposes, in which case it's going to be a bizayin haTorah that he's causing an escalation of the machlokis. So then, of course, he should follow the principle of being min ha'nelavim ve'inam ovim, min shomim chepasim ve'inam meshivim, from those who hear their embarrassment and contain themselves, of being a mavir al midosav. But you can't be mavir al midosav the Torah. So it could be that it depends, that if a Tamei Chacham, this is what he wanted to suggest, the Tamei Chacham is attacked by a stam, you know, person, who is just mevazeh Tamei de Chachamim, so then you have to stand up for the cause of Torah. But if the Tamei Chacham is embarrassed by another Tamei Chacham, so then that's just going to raise Mizayin HaTorah. You have Tamei de Chachamim, we're fighting each other, so that for sure he shouldn't be no ke minote kenachash. And then he just adds, it's a footnote, that not everybody always is in agreement who's a Tamei Chacham and who's not a Tamei Chacham. So even if there was an assessment made that he was attacked by someone who wasn't a Tamei Chacham, some people might think that really was a Tamei Chacham. So therefore, in any event, it's probably going to cause an escalation of bizayin haTorah. So it's never good in a practical sense, it usually ends up never being good to be involved in this type of a counter attack under most circumstances that could potentially arise. Okay, so we'll stop here.